Greetings in the Lord's precious name. A joy and honor for me to be here. And I think the last time I was here, maybe not in Vanilla, but in Australia, I was maybe 10 years old. Just a tiny bit, but then I grew in stature, and I hope I grew in wisdom as well. But thanks God for the God's grace and mercy in my life. And before I want to share my testimony, I want to read a verse that really helped me in my life, through the valleys of my life. So it's in James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4. I'll read that verse. James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And it's a virtuous thing for a Christian to exercise patience in our lives. And oftentimes, many a times, it's because of our faults that we fall into temptations. In this particular context, trial is what the author is trying to mean. You know, trials come in our life, and the storms hit our life pretty badly. But then the Lord is refining us. He's sharpening the edges in our life in order to be useful vessel unto His kingdom's sake. Just a short testimony, a little different from what my dad would share. My dad, as you know, he got saved from a pagan background, but then God blessed me with the opportunity to be born in a Christian family. And a lot of people take it for granted, but then it's a blessing in a lot of ways, and I'm thankful for that. And at the age of 8, I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior and God. And I still remember vividly in the college campus, my dad was preaching. I think it's one of those pastors' meetings that he preached, and he gave simple gospel message. And after the meeting, in college, in the Bible college, we would cook food in the firewood, you know. So there were big logs of firewood just kept there. So dad is sitting on top of the logs, and he was talking to some of the pastors. So I just, you know, eight-year-old boy walking up to my dad, and I asked, Daddy, I want to get saved. I want to accept Christ as my personal Savior and God. And I still remember my dad saying this, you know, Timothy, you're a pastor's kid. You know, your mom prays for you. That's all you really need, you know. You need to get saved. Then I was kind of, you know, taken back, surprised, you know. I was like, that's not what you preached like half an hour ago. And my dad was obviously testing me and, you know, what I was, you know, had the understanding or not. But then with the understanding of an eight-year-old, I knew that, you know, I was lost and I'm a sinner and I need a living Savior. So my dad was instrumental in leading me to the Lord, and I accepted the Lord at the age of 8. And at the age of 13, I obeyed Him in water baptism. And if you ever know about, you know, kids who grew up in a Christian home and you got saved at a young age, it's during your teenage years and your adolescence you really understand the gravity of what sin really means. So, you know, I was tempted, and temptations were in my life just as any other kid. So, in a big way, God led me to a Christian college. And I'm really thankful God did that, because it is during my college days that the Lord really worked on my life. You know, He chiseled some of those edges and corners that I had to sharpen out. And then He made sure that He brought people around me, good godly people around me, you know, helping me to understand, you know, how I should walk in my life. And it was during my college days that most of my friends were kids of missionaries, and that really challenged me. What is life? You know, you're saved. You're going. You know, you're going to heaven, and you know, you're a child of God. What are you really doing with it? You know, are you have that passion deep inside to share the good news of the gospel? So it was during my college days I submitted myself to the Lord for the mission field out there, and I never had an intention to go into as a ministry part, you know, because even at a young age, because of the vastness of the ministry in India, people used to come up to me and ask me, Timothy, when are you going to preach? You know, when are you gonna, you know, be like your dad out there, you know? So yeah. That used to put a pressure on me. You know, I don't know whether God even called me to serve, you know, in a ministerial way. But then, so in a way, it didn't really help me. It probably helped me to run away from God, you know. So it was during my college days that God really opened my eyes in the sense that, you know, what can you do with your life, you know? As long as you're an available tool unto God, He can use you. And God, you know, honored the desire of my heart. I loved and wanted to study medicine so badly. And God provided the opportunity for that. And I finished my medical education and did my GP training. And I came out and, you know, I didn't want to waste much time. And I told my dad, you know. And as a father, I know he didn't vocally tell me anytime, Tim, come join the ministry, you know, because I know, but as a father deep inside, he knew my son, you know, and that he should be useful for the Lord, whichever way, you know. And I know deep inside he prayed for me. But he never ever told me on my face or to me, conveyed me in any way, Timothy, come join the ministry. He never said that. Because I think that was crucial and important. That took off the pressure from my life. There was nothing like you have to be, because your dad started the ministry, you have to be responsible for that. Because in the Indian culture, a lot of the times that happens, you know, dad started it, son has to follow it. But then my dad never ever really, but he always encouraged me to be in God's word and pray. Be involved in God's word, read God's word, meditate, pray. Read God's word, pray. But he never really encouraged me in the sense or pushed me, because probably he knew, and maybe he must have heard a lot of people say that to me, you know, Timothy, when are you going to start preaching or be involved in the ministry? So he didn't put any of that pressure on me, but then the Lord worked a marvelous work in my life in that sense, and really encouraged me to be involved in the mission field. And I and my wife, Hannah, she's a doctor as well, and God has blessed us with a little boy, Noah Nair. So we prayed, and you know, I knew that God was calling me for ministry, and it's better to follow His will than to follow my will for my life, because He is my Creator and He is my God, and He knows what is best for me, and it's better to follow His direction and purpose for my life. So. We prayed, and I came up to my dad and said, you know, I want to be involved in the Lord's work, you know, whichever way God sees fit. You know, I'm not looking for a position or an office or whatnot, you know. But at the same time, you know, what I studied was medicine. You know, if you can use that as well, that would be good. And one of those things, deep down inside, I think what motivated me for studying for medicine was my dad's testimony as a medical missionary, you know, leading my dad to the Lord. So I think that was there deep down inside. I probably didn't realize it, but then a great opportunity in India. You treat somebody physically, they're much more open for the spiritual need, and you can just open up and build up a bridge to communicate and share the good news. So it is my desire in the coming days that God would use me. And we do have medical missions in our ministry. We do camps a bit, but then we don't have an organized clinic of that nature. So I've been praying, and you know, if the Lord opens the doors for that, I would really like to start a clinic attached to the place that we are staying right now is Bangalore. So a clinic attached along with the church ministry over there, so that the good news can be you know, proclaimed along with medical treatment. So that's especially because my wife is a doctor as well. She can help out if I'm traveling. She can help out with the ministry as well. So keep you know, us in your prayers as we kind of endeavor on that. At the same time, another facet of the ministry that really kind of touched me is the youth, the young people. You know, I went to a Christian college, and you know, it was a bubble. You know, and when you're in the Christian college, and most of the people around you are Christian, and they grew up in a Christian home, you know, you tend to be in that Christian lingo life, you know. You speak the right words, you behave the right attitude, once you come out of the campus, you know, the real person inside comes out. And, you know, that's very sad in the sense that, you know, the Christianity is heading that way. And a lot of young people, you know, not coming to church and not being involved. So it's a scary moment, I think, in church, because even if some young people are coming, they get drawn into the liberal, you know, side of church. So I really wanted to do something along with camp ministry. And in India, there's no real Christian camps where gospel is preached and young people come to know the Lord. So I'm praying about it. If the Lord leads, you know, I would like to start a small camp, you know, a camp ministry for young people, so that we can invite the youth. And India is a difficult place because you have people from different caste, creed, color, religion, and it's one place, and you draw the young people. I think it's a great opportunity. You can share the good news of the gospel and encourage them to go back to churches, you know, because people are like, young people especially, they get the weekend off, you know, they much rather spend somewhere else than in church. Sadly, that is the case. And I'm sure it's all over the world, you know. So that's a burden that I have, especially for camp ministry. So that's another thing that I was thinking about, and I didn't really speak to my dad about it, but then that's something that the Lord is burdening me with, because there's no real Christian camp or place where you can invite the youth and preach the gospel. That's something that you guys can pray about it along with me. And I know it's a huge shoes to fill in if you look at my dad, and I know I have to fill my shoes, not his shoes. Because I'm not him and he's not me.
Amen.
And as long as I'm available to be used of God, God can use, you know. So pray along with me for me and Hannah and Noah as we enter ministry. I know my dad grew up, as you saw the vastness of the ministry on the presentation and how big it is. He grew up along with the ministry, you know. Four people and $5, that's not the case right now. And he grew up along with the ministry, and then I didn't. You know, I'm just, you know, smack down in the middle of it. And then thing is big. You know, the ministry is huge. And so God would strengthen me, empower me, learn to, you know, be interacting with people and just be patient in my life. Especially entering the ministry, because it's very easy to get disheartened when you know, things are too much on your plate. So pray for me, and I really want a lot of people praying along with me so that God can use me. And it's a great privilege for me to be here. And this particular verse, through the valleys of my life, God really helped me. It's important that as Christians we exercise patience in our life, and patience is a virtuous thing to have in our life.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And when trials comes in our life, when problems and issues hit our life, we ought to go back to that sure foundation, which is Christ alone. And if you depend on Him, trust on Him through the valleys of your life, He will definitely use that opportunity to shape in you, teach you a lot of patience, and to help you to grow in you. And especially, the last verse kind of, you know, brings the clutch in. Verse 4, it says, "But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." You know, you want to be perfect and entire in Christ. And I know as Christians, sanctification is a process. And as we are in glory, we are still going to struggle in our life. And the only hope is depending on the Lord and trusting in Him, to the extent of wanting nothing, you know. And I think the Lord Jesus Christ, in His earthly life and His ministry, He kept on emphasizing, you know, don't invest your life on the things that will perish, you know, because a lot of people came in the doing His earthly ministry, and the miracles that Christ did, you know, they ate food and got healed and all that stuff, which is great. But then when their physical needs were met, they walked off. You know, they didn't stick with the Lord. So the Lord kept on saying that over and over again, you don't invest on things which will perish, but look forth for the eternity which has in store for you. So that was something encouraging for me, and that's my heart, and I pray that God can use me whichever way. That's why I told my dad, you know, I don't have to fill his shoes, you know. Whichever way God wants to use me, I'm available. And I'm available, so I don't want to waste much time in chasing the desires of the world, because a lot of my friends who were in the medical field, you know, they kept on asking me, Timothy, we know that your dad is a pastor and he's involved in the ministry, but, you know, are you going to be, you know, both a doctor, you know, moving away, working in a hospital? Like, I don't think that would be giving me any peace at all, you know, because I would like to invest on eternity, and every soul matters, you know, the opportunity that given to us, as Pastor was sharing, witnessing is huge, you know, and unless we go forth, we would never know how God can use, you know, people in our life. So I want to encourage you as well, you know, this is the mission field for all of you, you know, Benella. So every opportunity, don't waste it, because that might be the opportunity given to you to share the good news and bring someone to the glorious gospel of Christ. So don't waste the opportunity, you know, and we'll be praying for all of you as well, and keep praying for us and the PBM family back home, and also God would lead in the right direction, and it's a huge legacy which is, you know, behind us, and I want God to, you know, continue that in the sense that we don't want to slip away to something, because you see that over a lot of Christian organizations, the future generations kind of, you know, slipping to the side and then fall off. So I know it's it happens, but you know, we want to be focused on God's word and Christ, and His word should be proclaimed no matter what. And the world will throw in a lot of curveballs and temptations in the sense that in the ministry, but then continue to pray for us that we would, you know, be steadfast to His word, you know, which is ever settled in heaven. So thank you again. Thank you for the opportunity, and keep praying, and we'll be praying for you folks as well.